Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already the 15th of March. It's Dream Theme Thursday. I have a dream. It's a doubleheader. It's two in one person's dream. It's kind of interesting. I didn't get to read the whole thing. I don't like to read them all before I do them. But I got to read just the beginning because I want to make sure I had the whole thing. It's really interesting. I'm going to get started so I don't run out of time, which I'm really good at doing. So here we go. I'm going to start. This dream is from the Netherlands. It's from Marco, and he said, Nadia, I forgot one detail, and I remembered it, and so I'm sending it in the red text below. I had a dream, which I only can remember for a part. I was outside, and there was a small ditch with a dam made of stone. The dam kept the water in place because of the height difference. I was walking around over there, but I don't remember what I was doing and what had happened. I remember that I spoke to a woman who lived there, and we were both looking to the dam. I told her that the dam was strong enough to keep the water in place, but at that moment, the dam broke in pieces. I noticed that a concrete wall plate was too thin. I told her that I could repair it, and I tried. Then the dream changed in another one. I saw a group of men who tried to use women for pleasure against their will. Then those men just disappeared and then came back somewhere else inside a building. Inside there was also a man who had a lot of black panthers, which were lying on the ground. I could see that those animals knew that those men were food for them. Now, wait. I could see that the animals knew that those men were food for them. Oh, that's interesting. I was looking from a distance, and I saw that the panthers grabbed the man one by one. I understood that that was punishment for what those men had tried to do to the women. I was worried what would happen to me. The owner of the panthers came to me, and in his hand he had a cat. I couldn't see what kind of species it was. He asked me to hit it with the top of my fingers in its neck. I realized that I had to speak calm, and I said that I would do that if it would hurt the cat. He said that I wouldn't hurt him. Then he walked away, and I remember that I was thinking that maybe he wanted to know or I had bad intentions, and that is the part where I can remember of the dream. Huh. With all my love, Marco. So let's go to the first dream and then go into the whopper, which is the second dream, which really upped the stakes in your mind. But the first dream where you at first could only remember the part and then you remembered at the end that, you know, you said that you wouldn't hurt him. You have a very, I want to say, pedestal-like feeling towards women. You want to protect them. You want to take care of them. You don't want anyone to hurt them. You have very gentle feelings. In the first one, it was a woman who it was protection through the dam that you told her, you know, that the dam was strong enough. And then when it wasn't, you let her know you were going to fix it. But you were there. You wanted to be there. You wanted to help no matter what the circumstances were. Because in that dream, if that didn't tell you that enough, in the second dream, you were seeing that women were violated, that somebody was using them against their will. And even though you're a man and those were men, you saw a difference between those men and you. And because you don't like women being violated, what happened was you also, in a way, wanted to protect the women, and you didn't know how. There were way too many of them and not enough of you. So these big black panthers had to come in that ate these men for not being good people to women. But the other part of this is that you do see yourself very different from men, because you were one that wasn't food, even though you're a man and those men were there. Even though they violated women, how would the cats know? But the cat that came to you was gentle. And you knew you wouldn't hurt it. And you wouldn't touch it until you knew you couldn't hurt it, let alone a woman. But there's something really big in here. And I want you to really think about this. Is that, does your view of men, because you have women on a pedestal, but you're not really thinking so great about other men. Your view of men isn't very good. You don't feel that men are trustworthy to women. Somehow inside of you, you don't believe that men have good intentions towards other women. You have that protection. You knew that these people were doing it against their will. In the first instance, it was a simple one, but the second one really tells you a lot. And I want to say, you know, ask yourself, think of men that have a good opinion of women. Take a look at men who really do take care of their families, who really are paying attention to that. And the reason I say that is sometimes that view you have of men, you may assume that women have that view of you, and you try to prove that you're different, that you're not like that, that you're better. But you don't have to go through all of that, because sometimes that will get in the way between you and women in real life. That might be, I want to say, like a block. You're great in helping. You like innocent situations. But when things don't seem that innocent or don't seem on the up and up, now you feel like you almost have to protect yourself, prove you're a good guy. And when you first meet women, it's hard to prove that. Nobody ever knows who anybody is until time. And this whole week we've been talking about how long it takes to get to know people, to really get to know people. And it's not that you have to know everything and there's never a surprise, but it does take a while. I know people who've been married who say, my gosh, I'm still learning about my partner. And they've been married for 20 years and 25 years and 30 years. And right when you think you know everything. And when dating isn't something that's common in our lives, we tend to feel these different feelings towards dating, towards being with somebody. And a lot of times, those are the reasons that we can't get out of our head and get closer to someone. So with the first woman, it's something you could do something about. You could repair it, and you tried. And let her know that, you know, you'll be okay. I'm here. But in the second one, you couldn't protect the women. So instead of you being able to protect the women, the men got in trouble for misbehaving, for doing things that weren't okay, for crossing the line. And just doing what they wanted and having their way. So they were now bad and they needed to get punished. It's something to think about. Our view of women, and sometimes ironically, our love and respect for them, make it hard for us to communicate with them. I know, I have young men that sometimes approach me, and you know, they don't know what it is. And I know sometimes if whatever they're going through, they can see there's that, I always call it the C factor, the Christ factor, and it kind of shows up around me once in a while, and they won't know why. And they'll think that they love me, you know, like they're in love. And I know that they're not, because I'm not feeling anything. So, I mean, to me, I look and say, these people have not started their lives yet. They haven't, you know, finished school yet, or they finished school, they just got their jobs. And I know that it's just that they were able to feel love unguarded around me. And because I know that, I can guide that. I can, you know, not feel like, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to that kid. They're thinking this and they're thinking that. I can handle what they're thinking. And it gives them a positive experience instead of women sometimes just rejecting men because they don't know what the man wants from them. Because a lot of times, exactly what you assumed in your dream, women feel like, oh, before I jump in, you know, what kind of person is this? And most of the time, women are more cautious than men because they have reason to be. You know, it's always harder for women to find a man she can be with than men to find a woman. Men don't sometimes discriminate as greatly, especially in the beginning, because sometimes, and I hear this a lot, it's a bigger surprise for men when they do stay and when they find out, oh my God, you know, I realized I loved her. Not all the time do both people just go over the edge and feel like they've fallen in love right away. But for you, this dream, you know, having these men, how you were worried it would happen to you, even though you weren't one of the guys. But then someone noticed that you weren't one of those guys. And he came to you. And he gave you an alternative. And he didn't leave you for the Panthers. He gave you a small cat, a gentler cat. But that gentler cat was you. In the dream, that you are that gentler cat. You're not the cat that's going to eat other men or punish other people or hurt other people, even when you think they've done something that wasn't okay. But you're an observer of life so much so that it gets in your head and it stays in your head. And it stays there for a long time. So long that it becomes the way you think, and the way you think starts to be what you react to in life, and the way you react to in life starts to get in the way of real life. To have two dreams back to back, but the good news, and there's, you know, these are both really good news because they give you a lot of insight into your psyche, but that you know your intentions aren't bad. And you can approach anyone and you don't have to prove it. You don't have to fix anything. You don't have to point out what other people are doing. You don't have to point out what anyone thinks. All you have to be concerned with is that you already know you're a stand-up guy. And you had two examples through your dreams. Even while other men were falling around you and getting eaten and grabbed because they tried to hurt women because you have such great feelings towards them, but you still worried it happened to you because you couldn't tell if the Panthers knew the difference. And I think you feel that way. Well, I don't think I know that when there's women around, you don't feel like they can see you for who you are, that you have good intentions in your mind. But I will tell you, if you talk to women and you get to know them really well, they will know. And a suggestion I have, and I'm pretty sure this is already happening in your life, but learn to have women as friends. If you already have a woman that's a close friend, not, you know, just someone you see at work, or but someone you're really close to, you can get close to. Could even be a cousin, a relative, your, you know, anyone in your family, but a woman. And ask her questions about how she feels when she meets somebody or met somebody. Learn their stories. Let them tell you how they react, how they reacted, why they reacted that way, what attracted them, what didn't. Learn a man's world through a woman's eyes. Because when you put women on pedestals like that, it makes it really, really scary to approach them. That's not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of great men I know, great men, who really have a hard time approaching women. Because it's either they like them and they've got like four arms and five legs and they can't talk or can't say what they want to say and they're nervous and they're sweating and their palms go and their heart's beating and all they're doing is going to have a conversation. But in their mind, they're like all in their head, you know, does she like me? Doesn't she? Is she cute? She's too cute for me. I don't know if I could get her, whatever it is. And then while they're standing there, they see this guy that they probably don't think is a stand-up guy, and he's got this beautiful woman at his side, and he's walking around the place. Like, how did he get her? And I have to go back to something my dad always said. The guy who gets the date is the guy who asks. Whatever you ask for in your life, whether it is a woman, whether it is how you feel about yourself, and you want to kind of get to know yourself, not just get stuck in the tape that's stuck in your head, is you ask questions. It's so easy that all the self-help books that I used to buy before I wrote books, before I saw Christ, before I knew that, self-help books were like my favorite kind of books to read. I was always like geared towards nonfiction. I always want to know what's in people's minds because I was stuck in my own mind in that way. I wasn't allowed to interact with other people, and most of it was in my mind. So I wanted to unlock that when it came to liking someone because we were raised to never talk about it. And what I found out after every single book I've read, and I remember, I don't know if anyone's even old enough to remember this book, and I know it still exists, but the first book I ever read about human behavior was I'm Okay, You're Okay. And honestly, I would recommend it. It was the first book I read. I had to be, maybe in high school, right out of high school, that I read that was nonfiction that I started seeking about people. Because we didn't have big bookstores then. We had libraries. And, you know, unless you went to the library and you checked out a book and all of that, and, you know, things changed after that. Stuff just became available that, you know, took us a whole hike to find. But both of your dreams distances you from what you think other people are doing, other people are thinking. And I'm saying let's build a bridge from feeling separated from women, from people, to feeling a part of the pool, part of the population, a part of what everybody is doing. That's something I see a lot, is us separating ourselves. We're different. And all I could think of is what Christ always said is, you know, we're all different. We're all different. But then we're all the same. And then we're all different again. And what he meant by that is we're all different. We all live somewhere different. We're different sexes. We have different colors. We have different religions. We have different backgrounds. And then we're all the same. Nobody on earth can live without food, without sleep. We have basic needs that we need met. Otherwise, we can't survive. And then we're all different again in talent and in gifts and in temperament and in emotions. Nobody is exempt from that model. But ask yourself questions. Why don't I feel entitled to the same things other people have? Do I overthink? How could I have lived this long in life and not found a partner, a person, a closeness? Because you are that knight in shining armor in your mind. You want to help women, you want to protect women, you want to take care of women, and you also don't want to be seen as a guy who does those things. A lot in here. Even your level of punishment. Who on earth wants to be eaten by a panther? And I know this sounds funny because the fact that you brought up animals and panthers, I was just at the zoo. I went last Friday to the San Diego Zoo. Remember, I was not here on Thursday or Friday last week, and I was in San Diego, and I know I love animals, and I was at the zoo. And it was like a two-day break that I haven't had in a long time, and I thought, gosh, people take them. I need to take one. And Thursday was all meetings, the whole day and night. But I stayed an extra day because I wanted to balance. I wanted to do something I wouldn't have done up here. We have a zoo here, but I wouldn't have done that. And they have a wild animal park that you can drive through in your car. And you can just see the animals in their environment instead of you being the other way around. And that one was too far from the hotel that I was at. So I went to the zoo, and zoos have come a long way. My image of a zoo was that the animals weren't taken care of properly, they didn't have enough space, whatever. But that's because I haven't been to a zoo in a long time. And then when I realized, oh my gosh, they have like jungle gyms in each zoo and in each little sanctuary. And it was just amazing. I was floored. I enjoyed it to no end. Because when you see animals, first of all animals can see home and here at the same time. There's no difference for them. So that's the intriguing part for me, especially now that I know that. The last time I went to a zoo, I did not know that. But the bigger part was just seeing them be them. Nobody sat them at a desk in a school and told them how to be a giraffe and how to be a panther and how to be an elephant and how to be, you know, an orangutan or a flamingo or a lion. No. A lion knows he's a lion. He knows he's king of the jungle. A panther knows it's menacing. A giraffe knows it's just unbelievably interesting. And giraffes are the only animal that both legs on one side move and then both legs on the other side move. They don't. Both legs are like one leg. I don't know if anyone's ever noticed that before, but I think, as far as what I read, that they're the only animals that can do that. I never even knew that. And so then I watched, and it's true. One side goes and the other side goes. Both legs go. It's an interest. It's like a gait. It's like the two front legs and the two back legs instead of the side. It was just so interesting. I hope I got that right, but it was just, I couldn't stop watching. I had to film them so I could see it again and again and again. But we ourselves have natural instinct like that. And the way we are raised, that's where talking gets in the way. The things people say to us affect us. And it gets put space between us and other people. And I just want to say to you, Marco, because I took the whole day on this dream, these two dreams, because there's a bridge for you to cross. And that's to just be who you really are, the guy who wants to protect, the guy who wants to save. And that's such an endearing trait, such an instinctive way of wanting to take care of women. But you have to realize that they're people. They're not on a pedestal, so that you can see them as people and people can be partners. People on a pedestal, that's kind of hard, because then you're always nervous. You always kind of feel like, well, I don't get what I want. And it's not that you don't get what you want. It's that you need to be ready and understand what it is that you're getting. Because we all want to be good to the people we're with. And then don't feel like you can't be. You can be. And don't feel like you have to prove it. Your life has proven that. By the time we get a certain age, just how we have treated our lives tells us more about us than anything else could ever tell us. And we're so hard on ourselves. That's one of the hardest things for me to endure within myself, is when I was hard on myself. When I felt I wasn't okay until I did this or I did that or I bought this or I bought that, and I was, you know, really believing when I was younger that certain things would change my life, like something like, you know, living in a certain house. Or, you know, I remember when I first got married and I thought, boy, if we buy this house, I always wanted to live in a house and have kids, raise them there, that will take care of my life. Oh, as soon as I have this, that will take care of my life. I remember being pregnant the first time and thinking, oh, I'm finally going to be a mom, and I built my whole world around it, and then I miscarried. And I had to readjust my thinking. But going through those things taught me that not much is in my hands except how I react to things. And why am I thinking things were going to make my life what I wanted it to be? And other people cannot give you what you don't have. You have to bring that to the table. So the belief in yourself that you are ready just as you are today, you are already ready. Let people be people so you can be a person as well. You don't have to save anyone to be okay or to be loved. The fact that you want to is very beautiful. So I thank you for your dream. You guys, we have questions Friday. I already have a ton of questions. Send them in. We'll get them done. And I love you guys. Have a great Thursday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.